And our scripture this morning is from Matthew 7, verses 21 to 24. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rocks.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I've been planning on doing a sermon on a title, breaking up in several sections on God's love. But after a person I met, something else was impressed upon my mind that I should do my sermon on. And so that's why my sermon today is on what it is. And it's, what do you believe? And do you believe in Jesus? Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter this time of worship, please let your words be spoken, Lord. May they flow upon open hearts and minds. May they be a blessing to those that hear. And may you be glorified. Please fill us all with your Holy Spirit and direct us in thy way, please. Thank you. In Jesus' dear name, amen. Part of what prompted this was a gentleman started talking to me as I was leaving Home Depot and asked me if I was a Christian. Oh yeah, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I believe in Jesus. Well, I'm not too sure about you. You can have your Saturday. I try to keep every day. And then it went on. He started telling me how this person had this trouble, and he went and he prayed for them, and the person's troubles suddenly ended. Another person that had a hip and had a hip problem for about 20 years, he prayed for them and hasn't had any more trouble with his hip. I did this, I did that, and the miracles. Well, that's great. But then I got thinking about things and the way he acted and stuff, that he didn't want anything to do with God's law. The law has been done away with. That was nailed to the cross. And it got me thinking about the part there in Matthew. When Jesus comes and they say, well, we did this in your name and we did that in your name. And Jesus says, get away from me. I know you not, you evildoers. That can be kind of scary, can't it? What do we believe? What do we believe in? A lot of people say that they believe in Jesus, but what does that mean? Let us first look at the meaning in the dictionary. In the modern dictionary, I looked it up, and it says, believe. Definition of believe. Transitive verb. 1. To consider to be true or honest, as to believe in the reports. You wouldn't believe how long it took. We use the word quite different ways. To accept the word or evidence of, as in, I believe you. Can't you believe? Can't believe my ears. 2. To hold as an opinion. Suppose. I believe it will rain soon. Intransitive verb, it says, A, to accept something as true, genuine, or the real deal. I thought that was pretty good. To have a firm or wholehearted religious conviction or persuasion, to regard the existence of God as a fact. I thought that was interesting. That's in our modern dictionary, under believe. Pretty good, isn't it? It says, used as, do you believe? usually used within, believe in scriptures. 2, to have a firm conviction as to the goodness, efficiency, or ability of something. I believe in exercise, one might say. Or to hold an opinion, to have think. I believe so. In the English language learner's definition of believe, it was to accept or regard something as fact and true. To accept the truth of what is said by someone. To have a specified opinion. And then there was kids' definition of believe. I thought it was interesting. It kind of broke it down in different spots. But it wasn't that different. It says, 1, to have faith or confidence in the existence or worth of. Okay, that sounds good. He believes in daily exercise, using that word that way. 2, to accept as true. Don't believe everything you hear or read. 3, to accept the word of, they didn't believe me. To hold an opinion, think, I believe I'll have more time later. Bunch of different ways of using the word, isn't it, in our language? We believe and we can say we believe. But what do we really believe? What we see that it means to consider to be true or honest, to accept the word or evidence of, to accept something as true, genuine, or the real deal. We have a firm or wholehearted religious conviction or persuasion to regard the existence of God as a fact. I think those are the most important ones, isn't it? Do you believe in anything? And what do you believe? I believe that my wife loves me. Did your spouse love you? How do you know it? How do you know that you're loved? I believe my wife loves me, and how I do know this is to be true. Is it true, genuine, and is it the real deal? Yes, I accept it to be. And by her actions, the things that she does, it shows me that she loves me. I'm thankful for that love. And if so, how do I show her and others that I am thankful for it? Do you think that we need to show love back to others? And others need to see that we love our spouses and that we love people, right? How did he see that? I want to let her know that I love her and that I know that she loves me. She can tell me that she can tell that I do by how? By my actions, isn't it? Actions are involved. As we studied in the lesson this morning, you know, God wants his laws written in our minds and on our hands, right? And then when it comes to the end of time, our seal will be on our forehead, or our mind, and our hands. It's how we behave, our characteristics, and it's also our actions. Our hands is our actions, isn't it? People see by our actions. But I wanted to let her know, and it's by my actions. If I didn't return to her and let her know that I understand that she loves me, how well would the relationship go? Would it go very well? It made me think of a story I heard many years ago. It was a story about an elderly couple. They'd been married 45, 50 years area. And finally, the wife talked the husband into going to the counselor that she'd been seeing. Why? Well, just come. So she finally convinced him to come. And they got to the counselors, and she started talking to the counselor and says, you know, one of the biggest problems I'm having a really hard time with this. My husband never tells me he loves me. I don't know if he really loves me or not, or if, you know, he's somebody else or whatever. And I'm just at wit's ends. I can't handle this no more. I need to know that he loves me. And so the counselor asked the husband, he says, well, do you love your wife? Well, yeah, I love her. I don't understand where all this is coming from. What's this with this anyway? I told you that I loved you when I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Is that a good relationship? But do we do that to God at times? We do that with God. If I did that with my wife, I don't think I'd have a very good relationship with her. Do you think she'd do all the nice things for me that she does? Probably not. So how do we show Jesus that our love is pure? That it's genuine, true, and the real deal, as we do with our spouses and friends? How do we show that it's the real deal? So how do we show Jesus that we believe in him? That's the first step, isn't it? That we have to believe in Jesus? We have to believe, don't we? Is it not by our actions that we show Jesus that we love him and we believe in him? Just as with our spouses, it's our actions, isn't it, that really show what we're doing? What are our actions and what do they say or not say? Are we looking to see if God really loves us? There is so many people out there that say God doesn't care about us, if they even believe in God. And there's a lot of people out there that say God doesn't exist. And if it is, you know, he exists in nature, he exists in this and that, but there really isn't a God up there, you know. Life just goes on. The theory of evolution, isn't that what it does? It's just something started at the beginning and it's just evolutioning and revolving and life just goes on and that's all there is. Those that believe in Jesus know that there's something better, isn't there? We have something to hope for. We have something to live for. We cannot see God, but we trust that he is a fact, that he is there, right? That he created everything and is in control of everything. So how do we know that there is a God and that he loves us? How's the easiest way to find out about God? Isn't it through his word? The Bible? The Bible, from beginning to end, is all about Jesus, isn't it? And God. And their love for humankind. And their involvement in the human race. It's full of examples of trust and distrust. It's full of examples of good actions and poor actions and horrible actions on the part of humans. If we are searching for God, we need to start with the Bible. It is all about a loving Creator God that cares more for us than we can even start to imagine. We have so many examples. And in John 1:1-5, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Sad, wasn't it? But Jesus was the Word. He was the light. He is our Creator. He made everything. Now the next question is, how to tell we believe in Him and love Him? How do we show Him that we really do? That our love and our commitment to Him is the real deal, the truth, genuine? Do we wake up one morning saying, you know what? I think I believe in God now. I've seen different things. Yeah, I believe in God. Is that what happens? It's not, is it? Because God's already worked on our hearts for who knows how many years sometimes to bring us to the point of realizing there is a God and that He loves us. He's already been working on us. He's drawing us to Himself. There are so many different religions in our world these days. Why? Kind of goes with our Sabbath school lesson again, doesn't it? There is, because Satan's out there to disperse God's truth, isn't it? He wants to deceive people. It's not a time that we say those people are lost, because God's people are in all of them different churches, aren't they? His children are there. And there will come a time, which I believe is very soon, with the way things are going, that Revelation 18:4 will be fulfilled, where it says, come out of her, my people. Because they are His children. He loves every human being on this world, because they're all His children. But He gives them free choice to be saved or to live a lie and believe a lie and be lost. He doesn't make that choice for us. We have to make that, don't we? Since there's a lot of people that can tell you exactly what day they were saved. I've had people tell me, oh, I was saved on this day, at this hour, this happened. That's when I was saved. Can you tell if somebody's saved or not? I can't, totally. I can see signs that tell me whether they are or not, but I can't judge that, can I? But are we to look at signs, the actions of people? I've seen people that said they were saved and everything as they were drinking their beer and partying and smoking marijuana cigarettes, you know. What do those actions tell us? That they're still destroying their bodies by the things that Satan's provided in this world, hasn't it? I don't know their heart, but their actions are speaking pretty loud to me. We've got to be really careful. But our relationship, number one relationship, needs to be with Jesus and doing what He asks us to do, isn't it? There are just a few of the questions people ask concerning the truths about God. We do not have time enough to go over all of them. They're in depth, anything, because there's, you know, quite a few. But each of us need to spend time thinking about them and thinking how we can answer somebody if they ask us some of these different questions about God, the truth, the Sabbath, the law of God, the different things that people can ask about death. Do you go to heaven when you die? I remember talking with a lady one time. She says, well, my husband passed away about a year and a half ago. He's up in heaven now. And I says, well, that's nice to think of, but do you think that he is happy looking down of all that's going on? I said, you know, that's not biblical. I said, and I quoted, you know, Thessalonians, where it says that, you know, the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then those that are alive be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And she says, oh, I never really had thought about that. You're right. So he's just asleep in the grave. I said, yes, until Jesus comes. Well, I'd like to learn more about that, she said. You know, people are told things and they don't study it out, and they're not given the truth. And the different things of the Bible are explained in different ways. It's like the preacher come out to this old farmer, and the preacher says, this young preacher, he says, can we go in your house and have a cup of coffee or something and talk? I like to talk with you. Okay. And he got in the house and they're talking. He says, oh, do you have your Bible? I'd like to have you read a couple of scriptures with me. And so the old gentleman, he went in and he got his Bible and brought it out. And what happened to your Bible? He says, well, you know, preacher, when you're up there in front and you're reading something, and then you say, well, this isn't really what it means. This means this. He says, I don't want no lie, so I rip it out. But most of your Bible's gone. Well, sir, you said it wasn't important, or it wasn't the way it was as it was written. It made me think, you know, do we just trust in what preachers say and take that for granted? A lot of people do. And people try to take things and make it turn out to be something else to support their thoughts, right? You can prove almost anything out of the Bible if you take it out of context. So, you know, it's important that we spend time studying the Word of God. And when people are up here speaking and they're reading scriptures, we need to be reading them too, don't we? And to making sure that what they're saying goes along with scripture, right? The things that we do, says, I just put down here, anyone can say that they believe in God, but what are the signs that we should be able to see that confirm their words? Is there any signs that we should see of people when they try to say that they believe in God and everything? And if you start talking with them, if they don't want to believe in the Word of God, should we be careful? What if they want to take and distort or take the Word out of context? Should we be warned? Should that be a warning sign, a red flag for us to be careful? It should be, shouldn't it? Our actions speak louder than our words. And people can see that, can't they? We do not have an... Does the Bible help us out to answer the question about should we be careful or not? And I put yes. In John 14:15, if you want to look that up, it says, Jesus' own words speak to each one of us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Plain, simple, isn't it? Have the commandments been done away with? If they were done away with, would Jesus have told us to keep them? Again, in John 14:21-23, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus answered him and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's a promise, isn't it? Jesus so many times told the people that to obey what he says and to obey his law, isn't it? And we know that the laws that were nailed to the cross were the ceremonial laws, because Jesus fulfilled them on the cross, didn't he? He was the Lamb from the foundation of the world that was slain on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world from beginning to the end. God's law is God's law, not man's, is it? And his law is in heaven too, isn't it? It can't be changed. It stands firm. And he wants us to obey it and follow him. Were these answers just for the people of that time and not for us today? Were they only for the Jews? There are so many people out there that want to say, well, Jesus was a Jew, and that was for the Jews. We're now saved by grace. We're not under the law. So the law was nailed to the cross. We don't have the law. I'm sorry to dicker, but I don't believe that's true. Do you? I think the law still matters, doesn't it? In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, in 12, verse 17, which was written a long time after Jesus went back to heaven after being resurrected, it tells us that the dragon was wroth with the woman and went war to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. It tells us that they keep God's commandments, not man's. Man's laws, a lot of times, are important. If we're driving down the freeway and we don't want to abide by the laws, which are man's laws, and we're doing 75, 85, 90, what's going to happen if we're not careful? I mean, we got to keep our eyes peeled constantly, right? Because we're looking for something. The one that enforces the law, right? And if we're caught, we end up with a fine. Well, this isn't fair. I'd seen something on Facebook somebody posted. And it was about the policeman stopping this guy. Why were you going so fast? Oh, I'm running so far behind that I've got to get caught up with everything. And everybody's hitting me. Mister, there's no traffic for a long, long ways in front of you. Yeah, I know. That's how far behind I am. It kind of reminded me a little bit. I tend to have a lead foot, and the wife gets upset at me sometimes. But I don't drive that fast anymore that I used to when I was younger. But, you know, it's true. There's peace when you're doing the speed limit. When you're abiding by the laws, you don't have to worry about the policeman, do you? You have peace. When we're abiding by God's law, we have peace too, don't we? Again, in Revelation 14:12, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Interesting that it's the faith and testimony of Jesus that they also have, besides keeping and obeying God's law, the commandments. It's more than just keeping the law, isn't it? We have the faith and testimony of Jesus because we believe in him of being the real deal, the genuine, the truth. Correct? So our actions even show God that we believe in him. And we're not just believing in him, but because we believe in him, we believe also in his holy word found in the Bible, and the word of the spirit of prophecy, which is from God's prophets. Most of the Bible was from prophets, wasn't it? And the spirit of prophecy is from prophets. It is to help us have a closer relationship with Jesus. There is something else involved in obeying Jesus. That is to do what he asks of us. And that is to spread the good news about his soon coming and helping people to be prepared and ready to help them know the truth and that God is the real deal, the genuine, the honest one. To help them know that he loves them. And how can they know that he loves them? It starts off by that love that God has for us flowing out of us to them, isn't it? They start to see the difference in us because of our relationship with God. And they take and can turn their hearts to God, and they can know that he is the genuine, the truth, the honest, the real deal. What is it that we're supposed to be doing? Revelation 14, 6 to 12 is what? Do anybody know right offhand what that is? As Adventists, we should know this, right? The three angels' message, isn't it? Isn't that what God wants us to be doing? To sharing his word with others? So much of the time we want to leave that up for the evangelists or the ministers to do that part. We're really not able to do that part, right? We make all kinds of excuses. I know I have over the years. I've been convicted I need to be doing something, but I'm a horrible procrastinator. And I believe that's what Satan wants us to be, isn't it? To procrastinate, not do things. Isn't that why in a week or two ago we'll be studying in our Sabbath school lessons about the Laodicean church? They were lukewarm, weren't they? They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They were just floating along. But I believe as I look into my life over the years, that's what I've been doing. I've been floating along, taking it easy. I believe in God, and you know, I won't work on the Sabbath and this and that, you know, but I haven't really been doing what I've been convicted I need to be doing. It says in the three angels' message, it's a message to a dark and dying world, isn't it? And it says, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornications. And the third angel followed them, saying, with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Is it not a job description for us in there? Is it? Are we to be doing something, each and every one of us? We need to be sharing what's most important in our lives, right? They say what you believe, you behold, or what you behold, you believe. So it comes out, you know, those that like sports, when they get together, most things they want to talk about sports. And those that like to race cars, you know, and I can get into the cars, that, you know, you talk about that, or fishing, or hunting, or knitting, or crocheting, or cooking. But what's the one most important thing in our lives? Jesus, isn't it? If Jesus is the most important thing in our lives, who are we going to be talking about most? Jesus, isn't it? We need to be sharing Jesus with everyone around us. Ask God for opportunities to share, and He will open them opportunities up, sometimes in unexpected ways, and sometimes we're not ready. We don't see it until it's too late. I remember up working in Mom's cabin in 93, and my son was with me, Robert. He was 15 at the time. Where do the years go? Because he's going to be turning 41 this year. We went down to the post office to get the mail in Healy from Mom's cabin. And we'd been working on our cabin trying to get it jacked back up because it had shifted and fell. And we're jacking this cabin back up and getting cribbing under it and everything. And we spent about a month doing that, getting it up and around, because it, the type of ground up there with the moss, peat moss and stuff, you jack and a lot of time goes down before you finally get something to come up. And then when you get up a little bit because the jacks ran out of height, you block that and then you let it down and maybe you only got an inch or two. And it took a lot of painstaking work. But I had prayed that morning after studying my lesson. I prayed for an opportunity to witness for Jesus. You know, how am I going to do that up there, right? We're out there where there's no, the road ended about a half mile from our cabin, so you're going back and forth, either walking or 4x4, and part of it goes through a swamp. And so I prayed that morning. Well, we go in, we decided to go into town because we needed a couple of supplies from the store, which was a little market there. They had little boxes of cereal about this big, like this, you know, $5, $6 and something for a little box. I've never seen boxes that size before or since. But they got them somewhere, and they were the type of cereals that normal. But we went to the post office, and on the way down the little dirt road to the post office, guy wandering along like this, you know, comes over, flags me down. Hey, you got some money? I'm hungry. You could smell the liquor on his breath. And most of the time, people wanting, begging money, and they got liquor on their breath. They're just wanting more liquor, aren't they? Because they're alcoholics. Well, I was up there. I hadn't, because of my arthritis and fibromyalgia, I hadn't been working much. Wasn't able to. And I was paying my way up there and paying all the expenses. And I really didn't have money to give, especially to somebody for alcohol, you know. And I told him, well, we really don't have much of any money either, which was the truth. I had a certain amount of money, and it had to get me back down to lower 48. And so we drove on over to the post office. Well, on the way to the post office, I said, you dummy, why didn't you just say, hey, get in, we'll take you over to the restaurant and give you some food, buy you a meal. You know, I'd do that. Very willingly do that. So we got the mail, and it was just down the little road, over, and then to come back. We hunted all over for that guy for about 20 minutes. Could not find him anywhere. So I don't know if I was tested by an angel or what. We tried to find him so we could take him to the restaurant, give him something to eat. There wasn't very many little streets in that little tiny town. It's one of them that you blink, you miss it. So I believe that God was testing me of whether or not I would hold up to what I asked for him to be a witness. So when we pray, let's be ready, right? But it is our duty and our part of sharing with others the truths that God has for people. Because so much confusion of just what the truths are, it is so important for us to study God's holy word, the Bible. Jesus told his followers that God the Father would send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to lead his people into all truths and to bring remembrance those things that he had told them. That's still true today? Is not the Holy Spirit the one that leads us into truth, into whole truth? And he's the one working on our hearts to be convicted, isn't it? What do we believe? And what are the actions that reflect these to others? Do they really show that we believe in Jesus? We can speak all the words that we want, but it won't mean a thing to other people if they can't see it in our lives. We have to have that relationship with Jesus, and others have to see that, don't they? They have to see that we really do believe that Jesus is our Savior and Lord. And they see that by our actions, don't they? Because of that relationship with Jesus, they see that we are different. They can see that. I've had people tell me, well, I thought you were a good young Christian man when I happened to do some stupid little thing and didn't think about it. I was like, oops. I don't even know these people hardly. They see me. They see you. And our actions speak loud, don't they? I remember years ago that Wendell and I can't remember the other guy's name and his wife and her father and me, we got together, and Judy, we got together on Sabbath afternoon and would study the Bible and study the lesson for the next week and have some time together. And we looked up, we were studying in Revelation, and we looked up in the concordance, the Strong's Concordance, which somewhere I have one, but I can't find it, so I couldn't get the wording out, right? But we were studying about in Revelation where it says believe, and we looked up the words that we in our English language have for believe, and that word dealt with the whole circle of life. We can say that we believe in something, but it had to deal with our actions, with our attitudes, every aspect of life. That word, it was involved in that part. And so when we say we believe in Jesus and we believe in God, there's so much more than, well, I believe that it's going to rain soon. There's a lot more than that, isn't it? It's knowing that it's the real deal. It's truth. It is a fact that there is a God. But it's our attitude and our behavior that shows that to those around us, that we do believe. It's how we act, what we say, the touch, the every aspect of what we do. Are you like me? Do you want to have a closer relationship with Jesus?
Yes.
Good. To have him change us into the type of people that he wants us to be? To allow him to work through us to help others to know him too? To be able to know the love of God, that love that he has is for each, that love that he has for us is for each and every person in this world, if they would just choose him. But then let us ask God to come into each one of us and to fill us with his Holy Spirit and to give us the strength to make that choice and to keep us in his loving hands. He wants to do that. He wants to prepare us to be made ready for his soon coming. And more than that, He wants his other children out there to be ready too, doesn't he? And the only way they can know the truth isn't just by how we live. We have to open our mouths and speak too, don't we? Because they might not know what we believe and why we're different. They just know that we are. But if we don't open our mouths and tell them about Jesus and the truth, they won't know and won't be ready when Jesus comes, will they? God is being patient and kind and wonderful. He loves us so much that he's still waiting for us to be made ready, to make our lives, to make the choice to be with him. Let us ask God to come into each one of us and to fill us with his Holy Spirit. To prepare us to be made ready for his soon coming. He wants us to be ready, and he wants us to be loving and kind and genuine. He wants us to be the real deal too, doesn't he? He wants others to be able to see that in us, and he wants to use you and me, each one of us, even the little ones, to be able to witness for him to others, so that as people that are down in Winston right now being baptized, they've accepted Jesus because somebody else talked to them. They didn't just live around them. They had to talk to them. They had to befriend them and make them friends and let them know that they cared about them. That's first step, isn't it? And then be able to tell them about Jesus. Share what they know to others. And if they don't have the questions that people ask, try to find somebody that does. And study with them to help them to know the truths and the questions, answer the questions, right? Isn't that what God wants us to do? How many of you want to be made ready for Jesus and are willing to let him work in you? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. You've seen the hands. You know our hearts. Lord, help us to be brave. Help us not to be just lukewarm, but make us hot. Help us, Lord, to be hot for you, that we'll be overflowing and bubbling over with your love, your words, the Holy Spirit working through us to save other souls. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for the love that you have for us. Guide and direct in each of our lives, Lord. Give everybody safe traveling mercies. And remember all those on the prayer requests. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We think of those people that are still out of electricity. A lot of them have no heat, no nothing, Lord. Please watch over them and protect them and supply means and ways for them to be able to make it and not be sick. Guide and direct in all things, we pray. We thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all those that work around here to keep this church going, Lord. Bless them in a special way. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and for dying on the cross for us and being raised and being in heaven now on our behalf before the Father. Thank you. Guide and direct in all things. Be with us throughout the rest of the day. For those that are traveling, give them safe traveling mercies. In Jesus' dear name, amen.